This Saturday, the 28th of September 2019, I went to see my friend Dan Thompson's exhibition, Your England, and chatted to him about his inspiration for the exhibition and his poetry collection. And this is what he had to say. Where are we, Dan? Tell us where we are right now.
We're at the Lombard Street Gallery in Margate, where I'm having my first solo show in Margate, which is called Your England, and is part of Quartet, a group of four artists exhibiting here.
OK, great. OK, so before we get onto them, could you tell me a little bit about Your England, what it is, how it started, why you did it?
Your England started a couple of years ago, really, with the idea, and that was that we needed to talk about Englishness. That when I've worked in Wales and I curated the Troublemakers Festival in Wales, the Welsh can talk about being Welsh really easily. If you go to Scotland, people can tell you about being Scottish and what that means, and nobody really knows what Englishness means, and that we've got ourselves into quite a mess with Brexit and all the other things going on. And part of that is driven by a frustrated English vote, that the English don't think they've got their sense of identity. So for Your England, I'm writing 100 poems about 100 places to tell a history of England. And this exhibition is a collection of those poems and work made to go alongside those poems, and objects and collections that reflect the things I was writing about as well.
And how did you choose them, the places to inspire your pieces?
The places were, some were places that I knew and loved and knew I wanted to be part of it. Others were having a conversation on social media, and I went out, I had partners all over the UK that helped me make the work. So I went out and ran workshops with them that inspired another set of conversations. But quite often I then realised that the conversation I'd had in Stoke or Coventry led me back to a place in Worthing that nobody had mentioned, but that something I, you know, it was sort of pulling threads out that were probably there all along, but all those conversations helped pull all those threads out to get to the final selection of places.
And what's been the response in terms of, I know you've just opened, but I've seen a few people in here since I've been here. So what's been the sort of response and the kind of questions and engagement you've got so far?
I'm really pleased with the response this morning. It's also the opening of the Turner Prize at Turner Contemporary today. Because of that, everybody in Margate has opened an exhibition or a show. There's pop-ups all over the place. You can't move for stuff. So I really didn't know whether we'd be kind of sitting here by ourselves. So it's been really lovely that people have come in, and people have travelled to get here, people have come for this show, they've come to talk about it. My mum's just turned up, 4.5 hour train journey from Worthing to come and see it. So I'm really quite blown away with the response so far. Mm. And, you know, if people keep having, people are having the same conversations in here that I was having when I was out travelling around the country, people want to talk about this thing.
And that's interesting as well, because I was going to ask you about whether you hope for this to be the sort of beginning of a continuing conversation, or you see it as a finite project?
It is a continuing conversation, and I can see this thread that this has been actually going backwards into my work over the last 20 years, that I've done a lot of work about place and about identity, and the conversations have been the same, really. So I don't think it's a conversation that we'll stop having, and that's partly because it will evolve and change anyway. You know, I've got things that I've got just behind where we're talking, there's a big nautical sea chart on the wall, which shows northeast Kent, it shows Margate and the Isle of Thanet sticking out into the sea. And that sea chart is completely different to a sea chart that you'd see now. That sea chart is from 1985, 86. And the sands will have shifted, and the rocks will have moved, and the coastline will have changed. If you tried to navigate with that sea chart round here now, your ship would run aground within an hour and you'd be stranded. And I think, you know, if you want a metaphor for it, that's it, that it's constantly shifting and changing. We need to keep having these conversations.
Yeah, and let's hope we do. And I'm going to mention Brexit, Dan. So in terms of that conversation around Brexit and the implications of that, has that impacted on your thinking and all the conversations around it as it's happening right now as you've been doing this?
Absolutely, Brexit is part of this. I'm sure that part of the reason that Brexit happened is because we haven't had this conversation, that the English can't be proud of being English, that it's hard to, it's hard to feel proud of this country. It has been for a long time. I remember back when I was a teenager, Morrissey draping himself in the Union Jack and getting really criticised by the music press. And then Cool Britannia and Britpop trying to reclaim a sense of national identity. And how that's, Britpop started out with bands like Echo Belly, who had an Anglo-Indian singer and a dyke playing guitar. And, there's this whole... It started as something really diverse and energetic and creative, and then it became Oasis and Cast and a bunch of blokes in anoraks. Mm. That was a... Looking back, it's a really interesting seeing the way that big, broad thing became closed down into something narrow and tight. Mm. And that's still the conversation we're having today, isn't it? It's still the same discussion that we have to keep going back to.
Where do you think hope lies in terms of the future for us, for England and the sort of post-Brexit conversation and being?
I think there's plenty of hope, and I think it's... I think there's something perverse in all of this, that what we're probably going to see... I wrote a piece just before the referendum about this. I think what we're going to see at the end of this is the Conservative Party and the right wing in tatters and destroyed, because they've shown themselves up as not being capable and not being competent and not being able to deal with this thing. And England, and it might just be England by that point, it might be England and not Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland, realising finally that it's a small Northern European country. And actually, rather than thinking we're America or China and a great world power, saying we're like the Netherlands, we're like Denmark, and that's a different thing and is really special and could be really beautiful. So I think that we'll end up with a country at the end of it that's much, much better and is far more naturally socialist and left-wing and looks after people, but it's going to be really bloody on the way.
Yeah, right. Interesting. I'm also going to ask you, just because I think that people might be listening who don't know Margate or don't know Margate very well, just to say, as this is your bit of England now, and have been for some time... Why do you think people should come here? Why is it a good place to visit? And what people should do when they come here, if they come here?
I've always lived in seaside towns. Worthing was where I came from first. Now I'm in Margate. The whole of England is about the sea and looking out and gazing out. So wherever you are, you're never more than 60, 70 miles from the coast. Go and find your bit of the coast and gaze out to sea. I think that's the really special thing. Margate is extra special because it's right on the end. We're stuck on the end of England, facing up the North Sea. We're the point where the English Channel and the Thames and the North Sea come together. And in telling our national story, that's a really interesting place to be. We're the place that invaders always turned up. We're the last place you'd have seen as you left England on a cruise ship to go for a new life in Australia or New Zealand. It's a fascinating little place. Come here and there'll be stuff going on. It'll be chaotic and spontaneous and you'll find things to do. But if you can't get here, just go and stand on the beach and gaze out to sea.
So I did exactly as Dan said and did stand on the beach and gaze out to sea just before I got the train back home to London. If you'd like to see Quartet, four exhibitions by four incredible artists, Dawn Cole, Tracy Thompson, Graham Ward, as well as Dan Thompson, get yourself down there. It's on until the 8th of October at Lombard Street Gallery, which is in Margate, Old Town. I'd like to give the last word back to Dan. I asked him if he would read one of his poems, and he very kindly obliged. And this is it.
They lived an ordinary life together.
Eileen hand stitching in a glove maker's, Arthur working for the GPO. Holidays by coach or in a little blue Austin to unexceptional places, to Devon or the New Forest or Bournemouth. A cardboard suitcase, a rug on the back seat, mileage penciled in an RAC guidebook. A brother dies young, a sister takes £10 passage, they want a girl but aren't able to have one. So follow work to a new town and buy a new house in a good street. A kitchen garden with a root of rhubarb and an apple tree, pickles and jams, crumble, two cats, Willem and sixpence and a bird table, the old rug and a comfortable chair in the shed for Arthur. Knitting jumpers, solving puzzles, stitching a life together with neighbours and watching their children have children. After a golden wedding, he passes easily. His place is filled by a quiet acceptance of loss and loneliness by mustn't grumble. An ordinary life in an ordinary house, simple and uncomplicated. The apple tree died in the winter and she followed in the early days of summer.
That's the one that made me cry.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's my nan's next door neighbours, Eileen and Arthur, who I grew up with.